let's listen to this passage from Matthew chapter 9 and verses 10 to 15. Later, Jesus and his disciples were having dinner at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and other sinners were also there. Some Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and other sinners?" Jesus heard them and answered, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Go and learn what the scriptures mean when they say, 'Instead of offering sacrifices to me, I want you to be merciful to others.' I didn't come to invite good people to be my followers. I came to invite sinners." One day, some followers of John the Baptist came and asked Jesus, "Why do we and the Pharisees often go without eating, while your disciples never do?" Jesus answered, "The friends of a bridegroom don't fast while he is with them, but the time will come when he will be taken away from them. Then, in that day, they will fast." I'm going to pray for Walter, who's going to share with us. Lord Jesus, thank you for Walter. Thank you for the words you've given him, the thoughts and the revelation that he's going to share with us. May he be full of your spirit now as he communicates, and may we have ears to hear what your spirit is saying. Amen.
So we have been hearing about a party in that reading, and you may have missed it at the beginning, but Jesus is actually visiting Matthew the tax collector in his house. And there are also a lot of other tax collectors and what it simply calls sinners there too. Now, perhaps I have an overactive imagination, but I always try to visualize what's going on. And I sort of imagine an open-plan house, perhaps a fountain or two, perhaps a couple of potted plants. Somebody's busking on a harp in the corner. And I'm wondering, what are they eating? Jesus and his disciples are milling around the crowd and kind of chatting with people. Were the wives and girlfriends of the other tax collectors there too, possibly? Some Roman celebrity or two? And who are these other sinners that the passage mentions? So these are all people that had clearly been invited or welcomed by Matthew, who was a tax collector. And so some of them may have come because they were curious about what Matthew had said had just happened. Others had probably invited him. He wanted them to meet Jesus too, who Jesus said he'd come along to supper with his disciples. And, you know, that reminded me of when I became a Christian. Now, I'm not going to give you my whole testimony, but what happened was two people prayed for me, and with completely by surprise, I started shaking. I started crying after I'd prayed, that is. I had pins and needles. I had, you know when your hair stands up on the back of your head, that's the kind of feeling I had. And it was an amazing feeling. I didn't expect it at all. And the very next day, I went and told all my friends about what happened. Nobody had taught me at that point that it was important to go and witness and tell other people about Jesus. It was a natural reaction. It was like, "Hey, I want to tell you what happened to me yesterday." And that's how I was. And I sort of feel that's a little bit what Matthew might have been doing. Now, did you know that a tax collector like Matthew, in Jesus' time, he was one of the lowest of the low. He was a tax collector. Somebody has kind of done a bit of research into the tax collectors of the time. He was barred from the synagogue. He was forbidden to have any social contact with his fellow Jews. The tax collectors were ranked with unclean animals. They were a bit like pigs and swine. They were the same class as robbers and murderers, even. Can you imagine? They collected money from their fellow Jews. And the Romans, they collected money for the Romans, and the Romans required a fixed amount from each person to pay their taxes. That could have been for land or for a toll. But these tax collectors added extra money on, and then they kept the extra money. So they were also then classed as liars. They were barred from giving testimony in a Jewish court, and they were people without position in Jewish society. That's the kind of man Matthew was. And yet here Jesus and his disciples decide to go and have a meal with him. So what can we learn about the kind of Jesus, the kind of person that Jesus is from this story? When the Pharisees came along, they said to Jesus' disciples, you might remember when Debbie read, the Pharisees came along, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and other sinners? Now, did you know the Pharisees were on the other end of the spectrum in Hebrew society? They were the elite of the elite. They had the highest education in Jewish law. And you can imagine that they would know exactly in every way in which those tax collectors like Matthew were sinners and bad people. They knew every way that those people had broken the Jewish law. But Jesus answers them with a very logical answer. He says, a doctor is expected to go out to those who are sick. Isn't he? What sort of a doctor would a doctor be if they only stayed with healthy people and never went to those, visit those who are sick or help them? The Pharisees claimed to be those kinds of people who are closest to God, and they were very quick to give their judgment. And they might have called it advice about other people's sin, but they did nothing to help people get better. They were doctors who told people they were diseased, but offered no cure, no comfort, no support. And as you go through all the gospel accounts of Jesus' interaction with people, you find there are only these two types of people that Jesus had harsh words for. They were the money changers. You might remember that story, children, where Jesus cast out the money changers from the temple because they were trading in the temple, but they were thieves as well. And then there were these self-righteous people like the Pharisees, the religious leaders, who claimed to know and show the way to God, but were instead they were leading people to hell. You never find Jesus being harsh like this with sinners. Instead, there's compassion on sinners. He healed the sick. He cast out their demons. He wept for Jerusalem that the hardness of heart might be softened. But you know what? Jesus never excused sin. He was always gracious to sinners who admitted their conditions. If Jesus forgives the worst of the worst, then we have to receive that forgiveness too. And let me just say, what right then do we have not to forgive ourselves? If Jesus can forgive the worst of the worst, what right do we have not to forgive ourselves of the mistakes and the sinfulness that we have made? When we repent and follow him, Jesus' forgiveness is unconditional and free. He celebrates with us. He comes to our party. Isn't that wonderful? So we've talked a little bit about feasting and about parties. But then there was the second group that came along. And, you know, they didn't have a problem with Jesus sitting with tax collectors and sinners. They weren't so bothered about him having a party. But they were bothered about him eating. Can you believe it? And these were John's disciples. They said to him, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Their question to Jesus shows their commitment to the same kind of traditions that the Pharisees had. In other words, they were probably fasting at the same time or even at similar times to the Pharisees. When Jesus answered them, he doesn't actually condemn them for their fasting, but he says, the time will come when the bridegroom, in other words, when he himself, will be taken from them. Then they, in other words, the disciples, will fast. Now, I don't see Jesus talking about fasting here as a kind of alternative to the feasting. It's like, now we're feasting, but then you're going to suffer. You're going to fast. It's not a contrasting thing. It's not feasting now, fasting later. You're going to suffer. And nor does he say that once he has left the disciples that they can't do any eating. Because if you've read the book of Acts, it's clear that the early church met together often to eat together. And they broke bread together to remember Jesus. But and to celebrate him. So they were having a party as well. However, the party that Jesus is talking about is the kind of fasting that Christians should all be practicing. And the kind of eating that he's referring to isn't the kind of natural eating. It's the kind of nourishment that they were getting from his actual presence. So he turns it around. So then why do we fast today? For many Christians who are slaves to their appetites for food and for other physical pleasures, fasting denies those things, doesn't it? And it helps us to defeat those spiritual forces that seek to destroy our lives. Also, the Bible says that it helps us to discern the will of God when we fast. And it destroys strongholds. So if we can think of a behavior pattern in our own lives that has caused hurt to other people and the people that we love, it could very well be that we have a stronghold that can be defeated with fasting. But the devil is using it to trip us up. So to sum up, instead of having Jesus with us in the flesh, when we pray, when we draw close to him through fasting, then he will do the same things to us and through us that he did when he was on earth. He will heal our diseases. He will set us free from strongholds. He will forgive our sins. And we will, when we fast and pray, we will see him setting us free and giving us authority over sickness and disease. So fasting is just a way of seeking out Jesus' presence and finding his authority and power is just as real with us today as it was when he was on earth. And with that, I'd like us to pray. And as we pray, we're going to start by asking, just like Matthew did, asking him for forgiveness. And if you've never asked Jesus for forgiveness before, or if, as I've been talking, something that's come to mind that you've remembered a wrong that you've done, or something that you haven't given to the Lord, or it makes you sad when you think about it, then let's open our hands on our laps. Could we all do that? In fact, if we could all pray, I'm going to pray a prayer of forgiveness, and if you would all pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your forgiveness for all the ways I have failed you and failed other people. And I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I'm ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins. And that you rose up from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen.